really good to see everybody that's joined with us tonight. And I just ask you before I start, did that hymn not really touch your heart when he was crucified for us and he spoke our name? I'd just like to read in the book of Jeremiah, the middle of the Bible, Prophet Jeremiah. Just a couple of verses. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, not the wise man glory, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth, glorieth in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, who exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. We can turn over to John's Gospel, John chapter 3, just a couple of verses here. John chapter 3, verse 35. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. Look to the Lord to bless his word. I would just like to lift out these verses in Jeremiah, something of ourselves, to look into ourselves. Though we've got the wisdom of Solomon, the strength of Samson, and the riches of Abraham, what will it profit us in a time of need? A time of real need like never before. Time before we come upon Almighty God. And I was just thinking, I wonder what men glory in and boast. What I mean is, what makes us tick? What do we live for? What's the most important things in our life? What marks us and makes us best known to people? I remember a time not so long ago when I would meet friends and family, and some of the first remarks would be, how's the fishing been? They knew me by my lifestyle at that time. I put fishing first. I studied it in all the books. Tied all the flies. It was all my thought, day and night. I loved it, fishing. Just, that was my life. And I'm ashamed tonight. I would have found it easier to stand up here tonight and tell you about fishing than tell you about the things of God. I'm not saying that everything's simple, but remember the first commandment, to have no other gods before me. And I'd like you to ask yourself tonight, is he number one in your life? If he's not, you've broke the first commandment. Is he the first thing you think of in the morning? Before you commit that awful sin, does he ever come into your mind? Do you ever give him a thought? You see how simple sin just creeps up in us. We can often sin without even ever thinking about it. It's our sinful nature. And what I was thinking about was, if it's so easy to sin, then how many are our sins? If we can sin just as easy as that, how many sins have we got? We've maybe forgotten about the sins of our youth, the sins of our past, but God has not forgotten any of them. He's a record of every sin, no matter how small. I did a little calculation, and if you commit two sins a day, by the age of 40, you will have a list of 29,200 for two sins a day. That's just two bad thoughts. Two bad thoughts. And you'll have built up 29,200 by the time you get to 40. Remember all the ones that you would dread for anybody to, if anybody knew? God knows everyone. Maybe you've kept them secret all these years, and God knows. And He'll bring it all into light. And you'll say, oh no, not that one. I'm ashamed of that one. How terrible is some of the sins that we would have ashamed if anybody in here knew tonight. And God will bring them all into light. And you want to cuddle up in a corner and hide. But him that glories, let him glory in this, that he understands and knows me. For I am the Lord, and he exercises loving kindness, his judgment, and his righteousness. It's here we find peace with God. That's why Paul gloried in the cross in Galatians 6 and 14. John 17 and 3 says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Nothing else. Nothing added. No church. No religion. Nothing but Jesus. Was him God sent? It was him that finished the work. And it's only in him that salvation is found. For he lived a righteous life. Perfect life. He walked through life. No sin. And it pleased God. And while he hung in the cross, God took our filthy sin. Everyone. Those secret shameful sins. And he laid them on him. Then he took the righteousness of Christ, that perfect life, and to everyone who believes, he put it on the undeserving sinner. And it's this righteousness of Jesus that we are going to need when we come before God. Nothing but the blood of Jesus will wash away our sin. There will be no impressing God with our works. There's no way we can please him. For all his delight is in his Son. The only thing that will ever please God is his Son. And if he delights God, he should delight us. And only in him can we find God's pleasure. John 3 and 35 that we read. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. John 3 and 36. If you listen to nothing that I say tonight, listen to this verse. Everything hangs in this verse in the Bible. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. It all depends what we do with the Son. What God will do with us. If we accept him and put our trust in him, then because of God's love for his Son, he will accept us on the basis of all the Lord Jesus went through on our behalf at Calvary. For there on the cross, our sin was placed in Christ, and God poured out his wrath upon him. All the wrath that we deserved was poured out in the spotless Lamb of God. Just think back now to this point, to those thousands of sins, to the shame and all the guilt. It was all put in Jesus. Picture him hanging there with the most shameful thing that you've ever done in your life that you would hide for everybody. It's now in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And there's a holy God who cannot look upon sin. And in his mighty anger, God crushes his sin like a worm. Remember the psalmist? I am a worm and no man. A reproach of men and despised of the people. Can you see how we deserve judgment in hell? Sometimes people tell us, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. And you say to yourself, what about this place called hell? Is God just going to put me into hell just because I don't believe in somebody? No, no. We can see we deserve hell because of all that terrible sin that we've committed, that was put in his son, and then we reject him. That is the reason that God will put us into hell. We want nothing to do with this precious son who bore it all for you. Well, how will we fare if we decide, this stuff's not for me, I'll just take my chances. Life is too much to offer. And I like the way my life is. I don't need or want Christ. Well, that'll be to reject him. Well, here we look what's before us if we reject him. If we just turn to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. We'll just read from verse 14. This is a terrible sight. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains. And said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us. Hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? I can hardly imagine when anybody been scared the alarm. Then in the Bible it says that they'll flee from the wrath of the Lamb. He's also the Lion of Judah. Who can stand? That's the question. Of course, at this time, no man can stand. It is the end of civilization as we know it. All the people who have not yet believed in Christ have refused his offer of grace are the subject of this terrible judgment and cry out in desperate fear. And in this verse, we also see again about the wise men. And the mighty men and the rich men, we see where they are in that day. They're running and hiding to the rocks. It looks like a scene described in Isaiah 2, when men shall go into the clefts of the rocks and cry for them to fall on them. What a scene. Men praying for rocks to fall on them after rejecting Christ. Praying to rocks. Oh, my friend in the meeting tonight, don't be as foolish as this. Christ has suffered and died for you. Grasp him tonight while there's still chance. I remember a time in a coal mine. After extracting coal for months, we'd worked in a section and they'd been taking out coal for months and months. And I was in the night shift. And we were pulling out wooden props. And the roof started to break. The noise that came from that was unbelievable. It was louder than the loudest thunder I've ever heard. The wind and the dust from the roof coming in was unbelievable. It was a place of terror. Timber was breaking all around us. And it was heart-stopping. I never saw such thing before. It's the first time I ever experienced it. There were rocks the size of houses. And no matter how fast I ran, I felt as everyone was dropping at my heels. and my heart was in my mouth till I got to the place of safety. There's no way I can imagine running to try and get into those rocks. But in that day, those who refuse to believe have reached a stage where they can't believe. They don't repent and pray to the Lord for salvation. Rather, they feel a terrible fear and they pray to the rocks and ask them to destroy them. It's a strange thing, but it's true. Well, I think it's true, that every unbeliever is convinced in their own heart that death is somehow a way out. Somehow they think they can escape the terrible consequences of their sin by dying. That may be why some people commit suicide. They believe they are escaping the problems, that there will be no consequences beyond death. But the Word of God assures us that this is not true. It is appointed unto once the man to die, and after this the judgment. Hebrews 9 and 27. Why are we told these terrible truths? Remember the words in that hymn. Have you counted the cost? If your soul should be lost, though you gain the whole world for your own. Isaiah puts his finger on it. The reason for these judgments. Isaiah 2 and 17. It is, he says, that the pride of men shall be humbled. The pride of man, this terrible lust within us to be in charge, to be in control of our lives and other people's lives, and to run everything, just to do whatever we like and live as we please. That's the pride of man, to be the centre of our own little universe and to judge everything as to whether it pleases or displeases us. That is the pride of man. But grace can humble it. The sight of God's Son dying in our place ought to make us see the terrible evil of our own hearts. Will you not bow to him tonight and call him Lord? There is no need for any in this meeting tonight to face such terrible judgment. After all, one day you will bow the knee and you will call him Lord by force if necessary. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. If you look to Christ, he's offering you undeserved favour. He's offering you undeserved love. Love that you don't deserve. We don't deserve it. But he's offering it. That is called the grace of God. A quick glance back at life tells us what we deserve. Look back at Calvary and you'll see something was not deserved. The Son of Almighty God, beaten unrecognizable, stripped naked, and nailed to a tree for all to mock at. And do you remember the questions as they saw him hanging there? If you are the Son of God, come down and save yourself. If I could reverently answer for him tonight, I feel he would say, I must stay on the cross. There are still some in the meeting tonight who are not saved. And I love them too much. I must finish what my Father gave me to do. Oh, my friend, does Christ not just touch your heart? That he would go to such lengths to save your soul. My dear friend, your sin is ever before you. Time can't wipe it out. Works can't wipe it out. Reading the Bible can't wipe it out. Praying can't wipe it out. Stuart can't wipe it out. John can't wipe it out. No one. But the lovely Son of God who died. Nothing but the shed blood of Calvary can save you from your sins. And I stand here tonight not judging you. I stand here loving you. Because Christ loved me. And those 29,200 sins at 2 a day, I can tell you, I could multiply it by thousands and thousands. When I stood in pubs and get drunk out of my senses, when I did some of the awful things that I've did, and I look back and I deserve hell. I'm standing here tonight and I deserve hell. How do you feel tonight? Can you judge yourself and say, oh, I deserve heaven? How could we ever get into heaven in our sin? If you could just imagine tonight that you're getting dressed to come out tonight. You're all dressed up with your white shirt on. And you have something to eat before you come out. And you drop one bean in your shirt. And you say, I wonder if it'll do. And you say, well, I could hide it with this side of my jacket. But when you walk into that public place, you feel that everybody's eyes can see that spot in your shirt. You might have your sin all wrapped up and hidden from everybody tonight. But the all-knowing, all-seeing eye of Almighty God can look into the deepest part of your life and he can see that sin. And I don't know what holds you. I don't know what holds you in this world. For it's soon to end. And we're going to have to face Almighty God. I can tell you a story, maybe you've heard it before. But it was about a little boy. He was playing in the living room. And his mother was in the kitchen. And they had this, in the house, they had this very, very expensive vase. And the mother was peeling potatoes. And the little boy came in, and his arm was in the vase. This vase was worth thousands. And she says, put it down. He says, I can't. It won't come off, Mummy. She took it and she pulled it and she put soap on it and tried everything. She got a neighbour in. Both of them tried to get his hand out. It wouldn't come out. They decided that this thing's too serious. Somebody suggested take him down to the fire station. They took the little chap down to the fire station. 10 big firemen round about him. With all the suggestions. Some says, let's cut his hand off. The vase is worth £25,000. Somebody says, no, break the vase. So eventually, they took a hammer and they gently tried to break it into as little pieces as possible. But the whole thing shattered and fell to the floor. And the little boy ran to his mummy and he says, it's all right, Mummy. I've got my marbles. All the time his little hand had been in the vase, he had his marbles. And he was not going to let them go. And the only thing that would have released those marbles was if he'd let them go. Tonight I ask you, is there some sin? I don't know what it is. Judge yourself. Is there some sin holds you in this world? Is there some sin that's going to drag you down to hell when there's a Saviour for you? He knows your name. He knows your heart. He was on that cross. Blood was running down his face. And there was you in his heart. And all you have to do is say, I'm giving up that sinful life. I'm leaving it. I want Jesus. And just turn to him tonight and say, Lord, come into my life and be my Lord. I'm not a strong person, but I'll try if you help me. So we'll leave it with you and we hope and pray that you would take the Saviour. Just a word of prayer and maybe sing another hymn if you want. Well, a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we come before thee tonight. And Father, we have a burden in our heart. As we look around us at the unsaved, we see their feet tramping to hell. And our God, it's only within themselves, if they would make that decision, come to thy dear Son, who has suffered and died for them. Father, we pray thy Holy Spirit would take up thy word. There's nothing in us, there's nothing that we can say. But we pray, our God, that something may go to the deepest parts of their heart. And they may say, I want Jesus, and I'm giving my life to him tonight. Father, we commit ourselves to thee. We ask for a blessing as we part, as we cast our soul upon thy might and thy grace. In the precious name of Jesus. First and last verse of 624.